This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi everyone. This is Paul Simpson, manager at Carlisle United, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast.
My name is Jamie Devitt.
My name is Maddie Robson.
My name is Chris Miller.
My name is Paul Anderson.
My name is Mark Boyd.
Hello. My name is Derek Combs.
My name's Toby Show Silva.
My name's Greg Abbott, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast. Enjoy.
This is something I wanted to sort of like actually talk about a little bit later on, but yeah, since I've got like a extra spare room with the new house, I was thinking about maybe just using it for like a podcast space.
That'd be good.
Yeah. So then we could all sort of like meet up and then we wouldn't have to do like Zoomy things like this. Can you hear us now, Will?
Yeah, I've got you now.
Yay! And you can catch up on the group chat with what I just said.
Oh, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, cool then. Yeah. So yeah, I was thinking about maybe like putting together a podcast space in the new place.
Yeah, no, that'd be good.
That'd be good, yeah. Makes sense.
Like a regular thing on like maybe like a Monday at some point, I guess. Mondays are normally quite easy for us.
Yeah. Very hardest for Max.
Yeah.
It's Vince, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's not too bad, but yeah. I wouldn't mind.
It'd be worth, I mean, like, you know, even if like a couple of us could like end up just in there and then the other ones on Skype.
Yeah, that's true,
on,
yeah.
On Zoom or
would
whatever.
That make sense to do it like, because we'll all be at the match, just do it after the match. Like immediate reaction.
Like we just dive straight back and do it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea either.
I guess it depends if I'm with
who
got to go for a meal with after the match, but they're not always there, but that's our usual thing.
Well, yeah. This is many people's usual thing. And this is my usual thing, in fact.
Yeah.
I'll kick things off properly. All right, matters. How's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 153. And I am absolutely buzzing to be joined by the three men that I love to call the Cumbrian Brain Trust. That's right. I'm talking about Liam, Max, and Wills. Welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast, lads. How are we?
Good, yeah.
Not great after the result, but...
Oh, you're talking about the football? Yeah, not...
The football is my life, Will. All right.
His mood is very much determined by the football club's results, and he's really came into a bit of a depressive couple of...
Whole year, pretty much.
Yeah, it's been a hard year.
It'll be your first relegation, won't it? So...
Oh, yeah. Definitely have put some thought into that, but they say you're not a proper football fan unless you've seen your team get relegated, so
yeah.
No one can ever question my loyalty.
Yeah, it definitely tests your loyalty. And something else that tests people's loyalty to the Blue Army Podcast is the Blue Army Podcast joke of the week, and it must be time for the traditions around here on the Blue Army Podcast, and that can mean it's time for one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Blue Army Podcast joke of the week. Is he having a laugh? I think he's trying to. It's the Blue Army Podcast joke of the week. Right, boys, here we go. What has five toes and isn't your foot?
Don't know.
Someone else's foot.
My foot.
No. Kind of ruined your joke there, didn't he?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. That kind of sucked that time. Anyway, something that definitely doesn't suck is a part of the show where we all get to find out what's been happening here and what's been happening there in the league. One roundup with Liam and Wills. Take it away, boys.
Well, neither of us really care that much about League One, but I wanted to do it.
The
in
best
the same...
way to start the segment off.
I wanted to do it in the same order as we did it last time, with you doing the League One relegation.
I'll do that, I suppose. Obviously something we're going to talk about. Carlisle aren't relegated quite yet, but at one point we were during the game last week, or on Saturday even, or on Monday actually. But yeah, Carlisle are still alive and kicking, just with being 13 points from safety with 15 to play for. With Burton Albion, despite being ahead in the game, losing 3-1 to Barnsley with a quick kind of cluster of goals in the second half from Barnsley, with McAtee scoring in the 54th and 64th, and Connell scoring in the 69th. So, you know, Burton kind of really fell apart in that game. To make sure that Carlisle are still somehow alive going into next week's fixtures. But yeah, Port Vale lost 2-1 to Northampton. Cheltenham, although were winning as well, managed to lose to a 90th minute call penalty from Exeter, with Harris getting one in the 56th minute as well. Fleetwood, I hadn't really looked at them, had lost 4-0. Yeah, Fleetwood, I remember seeing from Fleetwood fans... The players should have to walk home from that game. You know, the Fleetwood fans are not happy with them. But yeah, despite that, they're only 6 points from safety. So, you know, it's a funny one, because the relegation battle is very much still on for every team except Carlisle, it seems.
Yeah, that's it. You see these teams like Fleetwood, and then you realise that they're still in with a decent shout.
Like, they're still, what, 7 points ahead of us? So, and they're still... I'd think before long they'll be too far cut adrift, because, you know, 7 points is a lot when you're getting down into your final five games, you know.
Well, yeah, with every game that passes, yeah, the amount of points up for grabs, because that's what happens, and that's kind of what we've been watching with Carlisle, is the amount of points up for grabs gets lower and lower, while the amount of points we are behind pretty much stays the same.
Yeah, yeah. Because everyone seems to be losing at that bottom end. And I think it's at the minute, though, it's going to be the four of the current bottom five, because Cambridge did manage to get a win against Wigan to pull away from it. They're now 6 points off 21st place Port Vale and looking quite healthy. So you've got to think it'll be Carlisle down already, and then three of Fleetwood, Cheltenham, Port Vale or Burton.
So that's a fair shout.
So there we go. Will, do you want to do the... race.
Yeah, so looking down at League Two, Stockport still out in front. It's the top seven are the same top seven as they were for the last couple of weeks, I think. But Stockport keep on winning. Wrexham have picked up another couple of wins. So those two and Mansfield are still in the driving seat. They've got games in hand over the teams below them as well. Mansfield did just get beat by Wrexham last week and then didn't play this week, so Wrexham got another win and have closed the gap on them. One team whose bid for maybe have a go at automatic promotion suffered a bit of a setback this weekend is Barrow.
We'll try not to be happy about it.
Who were beaten 2-1 by Morecambe. Morecambe themselves have kept their hopes of getting into the playoffs alive. I remember last time they'd gone on a massive losing run and dropped, you know, a fair bit out of... I think I actually wrote Morecambe off just because of their form at that point. And they've won two and have now got back within 2 points of making the playoffs. Crewe suffered a shock a shock defeat, 3-0 at home to Forest Green. Crew up in sixth, still in sixth after this. They've got a 4-point cushion down to Crawley. But Forest Green, who is still bottom of the league, recorded a really convincing win to, you know, keep their hopes of survival alive. They'd lost three in a row before that, but that win means that they're still only 3 points adrift and with a game in hand on Sutton.
That's an accumulator buster, isn't it?
Yeah. Sutton, meanwhile, though, they've won four in a row and have now leapfrogged Colchester. So Sutton are out of the relegation zone. So, you know, if they keep that form up, they'll take some catching. Colchester, just too many draws recently. They've only lost one of the last six, but they've only won 1-2. And with both Sutton and Forest Green picking up results, they've been dragged right into it. Grimsby as well, in 21st, only 2 points clear. And, you know, they've drawn two and lost two of the last four. So they could, they could easily still go down. So we could end up, I know, like we almost looked at Forest Green and Sutton as certain to go down. We could almost end up with both of them surviving and Colchester and Grimsby going down. Above that, there's too big a gap. Salford probably safe.
Got to admit, who's a Grimsby fan, and he's pretty confident they're going down.
Yeah, I mean, they're that team that's on the slide. Most of the time, the teams down the bottom are just too bad to overhaul them. But like I say,
well, Grimsby very nearly got a win.
Mm.
They conceded in the 93rd minute to a Bradford City penalty. Where are they at, Wills? I didn't hear you mention
Bradford.
Them in the promotion race.
Well, don't think they're involved.
No, yeah, Bradford aren't involved.
What a shame.
They're 14th. You knew that, didn't you? in the National League, as we know, Chesterfield are already up and they've lost both games since confirming promotion. So they're on their holiday.
Probably hungover, yeah.
it's going to be almost Barnet and Bromley, possibly Altrincham and Solihull as the teams that make up the semi-finals. Gateshead and Aldershot involved as well.
Be good to have Gateshead. That'd be a good away day.
Yeah, and then they're
in good form as well. They won 7-1 against Hartlepool like a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, I love that from them, by the way. Well done, Gateshead.
And then Halifax are just 3 points outside of the playoffs with two games in hand. They lost at the weekend, but, you know, they've got a good chance of making them at probably Aldershot's expense. So, you know, we're still looking at a lot of potential new teams for the league, or at least new teams for the league in our lifetime, such as Gateshead, you know, getting up there. Well, that's all I've really got to say.
Well, fair. Well done, lads, because we all get to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there in the league? 1-2 and conference roundup with Liam and Wills. Well done, lads. Well done. We're going to move on. But before we move on, I have to apologise. Max, I'm really sorry, mate. Because it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's million pound idea.
Thank you very much. So this week we've got another fan zone idea. We've had quite a few since the introduction of it, but it's obviously potential there. So this one's to have the live music in the fan zone, and I put in brackets bands. So this basically came about. Well, me and Skelly were talking about it the other day, weren't we? But my dad, obviously, as my dad goes, he's a season ticket holder at Birmingham City, and they had UB40. He actually played there before the game against Preston, I believe it was. So obviously, I'm not looking at that sort of level, but
that's
as an example
thing for them as well, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm thinking like we could do something similar with like bands from Carlisle and stuff like that. I know they have a DJ sort of van thing that goes, but I'd rather just have bands, to be fair.
Yeah, they could definitely do more with local bands, I think.
Yeah. I seen it as well, like in the concourse at, when I went to watch Newcastle play rugby, the Falcons, they had a band in the concourse just so people could watch that while they were, you know, having drinks or whatever. So it's another example.
And no, like, I think bands are all covers or is it like originals?
Both.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends really. It depends who you're getting. I think bands would probably want to do it if they had the chance. So they could just like advertise their gigs or whatever there as well.
Not massively, yeah. They could maybe sell some t-shirts or something.
Yeah, you could probably get them to do it for free as well. You know, wouldn't even have to cost much.
Tickets. They're not going to be doing anything during the match, are they? So give them some
true. Yeah, I mean, exactly. The one in Newcastle, actually, I think that was after the game to try and sort of keep people there spending money for a bit longer as well.
Yeah.
So that's got that benefit as well.
I think like in like concourses and stadiums, like more across Europe, I suppose, not necessarily in the UK, but like they do use them for like dance events and like music events and stuff like that, because there literally is enough room.
Yeah, because they're right in the East End
for like 4,000 people to sort of like, and bars, you know what I mean? Like it's just almost ready made for like a event.
Do you think we can organise a rave in the East Stand then?
Yeah.
You could have the promotion party there at the end of next season.
Yeah, be positive.
That's all that's keeping me going at the minute.
Yeah,
next
like,
season.
Yeah.
So at least we can lift the trophy at Brunton Park hopefully next season. So.
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. Oh, dear me. I mean, yeah, I think it's a good idea, live bands and stuff, especially outside in the fan zone, because I think they did try it once before in the concourse at the East End.
Yeah, I mean, you could always, like, alternate between the sort of DJ thing and you know, the bands. But it's, you know, having some music there, like, I do like the DJ thing. You know, it does help with sort of the atmosphere and, you know, the enjoyment of going there. But, yeah, change up a bit. Get some bonds in.
Yeah, and it's good to, you know, let everyone have a chance to shine, because it's you know, ready-made about 1,000 people to play potentially for, like, anyone. That's the biggest gig, one of the biggest gigs going in Carlisle. It's bigger than the Brickyard, you know what I mean? That's a pretty big
true,
gig, you know what I mean, for a lot of people in Carlisle. It's a lot of exposure for a lot of bands
good
in Carlisle.
Good exposure, exactly, yeah.
If you go out there and smash it, you know, you could do all right. You definitely could build up a lot of interest. All right, lads, and thank you, Max. Thank you very much. But I have to apologise because it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's £1 million idea.
Start changing the name of it, because none of these cost a million. Some of them cost about some of them cost about 10 million.
I mean, like, I mean, if we try and book like UB40, it might cost a million.
Yeah, no, it might. Yeah, who knows. But it should be like the Max's idea.
Max's idea. All right, okay. I mean, I kind of like it. Lowest expectations, at least.
I don't like there's a tradition
now,
anywhere
because
now.
The list that we, if it's like the list of the suggestions that we put together, because we were like talking and we had a couple of drinks and we were talking and we were saying we need 5 ideas to get through to the end of the season, like 5 matches, 5 ideas to get through to the end of the season. And what I know for a fact, one of them's an awful idea.
Yeah, one of them is. One of them is. That'll be fun though. Like, you'll have to wait for when it arrives. I bet all the listeners will be like, oh, it was definitely this week. It was definitely this week.
But I honestly don't remember the idea either. So at least you've got it written down. At least you've got it written down. So I'm looking forward to that. Whenever that one comes out the bag, I'm looking forward to that one. All right, lads, we'll move on to some Blues news, and we'll do a little bit of Lawn Watch. But I want your opinions on things, lads. Both Max Kilsby and Kai Newton were involved for Annan and Queen of the South, respectively. Both men were a part of a squad that won a point each during their outings. Now, obviously, you know, without being doom and gloom brigade, we've already admitted we're going down here on the Blue Army podcast. So next season, or at least next pre-season, would you expect to potentially see a Max Kilsby and a Kai Nugent in and around the squad?
Probably.
Yeah, definitely in pre-season.
Pre-season, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't
Kilsby
really seen
especially.
Much. I haven't seen enough of them for me to kind of sit here and be like, oh yeah, he'd really offer us something next season, but you know, I don't know how long they've got on their contracts left, but I would say, you know, what's the point in having youth players if you're not going to sort of try and develop them into the squad?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the idea as well under the Piatek, that, you know, we've got a bit more money now, but we're not just going to go out and buy the best players. We're going to go out and buy good players, but also, you know, try and develop our own. Yeah. They'll look at the likes of Jared Branthwaite and be like, that's totally something that we can expect Carlisle to do.
I mean, that's been like the most profitable deal ever for the club, hasn't it? Probably. Well, it will be.
Yeah.
Potential's still there. The potential's still there. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if like either of them can like make a go of it, because potentially it depends on the recruitment, doesn't it? It depends who else they're going to really want to bring in. And if not, there's no reason why not. Like, I think Kai Nugent and Max Gillsby could sit on the bench rather than bring in a defender on loan like Green.
I think Gillsby especially.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. I'm not too sure on Kai Nugent, but Killsby's been involved in pre-season before, hasn't he? And he's done quite well in like friendlies and reserve matches. Yeah. And I think he's had an extra year of kind of first team football under his belt than Kai Nugent, and at a higher level as well. So I think out of the two, Killsby's the one I think he'll look at the most.
Yeah. I feel like there's a chance Green will be back next season as well, because we brought him in on loan when we were already struggling. Simo still gives him game time, and I think he's probably one of them that, even though he's a loanee, is kind of like thinking of him for next season, you know, presumably getting back on loan. But we've got form for signing players in some.
Yeah, a bit of a Jack Robinson type.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have already had conversations about that with Brighton. It might already be, or whoever he's with, Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
It might already be sort of. There might be a verbal sort of agreement there, maybe, for that.
We'll have to wait and see on that one. But we're definitely optimistic and hopeful for Kai Nugent and Max Killsby's future with Carlisle United. They've both been doing quite well while they've been out on loan. There's been no negative reports. They've both been able to get into those first teams. So, you know, you'd hope they'd step up in some way next year, even if it isn't with the first team. In other news, gentlemen, it's not good news, I'm afraid. Taylor Charter's season is over. He's been ruled out with a hamstring injury, and he's just not going to make it back in time before the end of the season. So unfortunately, Taylor Charter's season is over. And the last little bit of news, lads, let's plug the charity match again. Cheer up some people, you know, cheer up some people. Now we're going to be putting together like a squad announcement very soon that we're going to put out on the social medias, but there are going to be a few names missing from the squad announcement, because we want to kind of drip feed things along the way. You know, we've got a couple of weeks here to play with in the build up towards the charity match. We'll be having a kick about on Friday, won't we, gentlemen? That's when our squad's going to be meeting.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, without lifting the hat too much, it's a splattering, isn't it, of sort of like a mixture of our friends and you know, different personalities that we've reached out to, people that we've been on the show before are expected to be involved, and we've got ourselves a fantastic manager as well, who's a bit busy at the moment, unfortunately, with duties with a different football team at the moment. So we won't reveal that just now, but we might be able to reveal something just amongst the four of us, maybe something that's just a little bit of a teaser, and then we'll give people more as we go along. As we go along. So we revealed, Liam, what your dad's position is, and what your position is, I think, last week on the podcast, and where you playing in the midfield maestro position. I don't think I shared, I don't think Will shared, and I don't think people know where Max's position is either, here from the Blue Army podcast. So I feel like, you know, that might be quite fun, and to go through our past experiences of football, because, you know, that's what Liam had to do, and we had learned about the fact that his dad's played for Workington and Maryport and various teams along the way. He's got a bit of pedigree behind him. Max, you've got a bit of pedigree behind you. Where do you play?
Well, my pedigree is in a different position, but I'm going to be playing in net, so that'll be fun. I'm hoping.
I've got your gloves. Remember, because I went to Carlisle United last season, and then there was like, you know, there was just a pair of gloves lying around. They've never been used, and they've never been opened. And I'll let you.
Oh, cool.
You can use.
Fell them. Off the back of Haggis's lawnmower.
Well, Haggis definitely had something to do with it. Haggis definitely had something to do with it. No, yeah, I'll give you those. You got yourself a pair of pro gloves as well to go with it. And Will, what's your background in football and what position do you play in?
Well, I play in midfield, but attacking midfield, just behind the strikers.
Ooh.
On the left side, you're looking to set things up. That's what position I always played whenever we played football at school or with mates anyway.
Yeah.
But like then most of that was five-a-side, so, you know, no positions.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're going to be doing on, like, Friday. We're just going to be kicking around some sevens. They're probably five-a-side, yeah. In fact. Mm. But, yeah, Will, what number have you gone for on the back of your shirt?
I've gone for 9 because I didn't think I would be able to get that, but
But nobody else claimed it.
Yeah, nobody else had claimed it. Everyone else had weird attachments to funny numbers. So,
yeah.
So I was like, oh, fine, I'll have 9 then.
Yeah, he just kind of sunk in there and got 9. Even though, do you know what I mean? There might be an illustrious number 9 that might be being added to the squad.
He can have 19.
Oh, brilliant. But yeah, and I'm going to be playing as a striker, basically, because I don't think I've got the legs to do anything else. So just gonna sort of like play the target man and just sort of like flick it on and just try and get in the box. That's my plan, pretty much. Flick it on, hold it up.
Skelly, me and you can just practice. I'll put in crosses to you and you nod them in, and we'll just do that. Oh, yeah. You know, everyone else can run around and get fit and pass and move and stuff, and we'll just practice me crossing to you for you to head in.
That'd be perfect. That'll be perfect. And then there'll be a moment, won't there, in like the 90th minute where it'll just be like, Will, free kick, get on a free kick. stand away, ex Carlisle United player. Will's taking this free kick. Oh man, but it's going to be a great laugh, and it's taking place on the 18th of May at Rydale Park, which is in Gretna. We're playing the Latch Ditched podcast, and lads, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's all raising money for Mind and Andy's Man's Club. There'll be a ticket link in the description just below this podcast, in that bio bit where you put your descriptions and whatnot. And yeah, they're available on Skiddle, so you can just search. I think it's just search Last Ditch Podcast, probably, and the tickets will pop up. They set up the ticket link. They set up the ticket link. So I mean, thanks for them for doing that work and doing that for us. But yeah, that's a £5 a ticket, and I think it's a £1 booking fee. So once again, that's on the 18th of May, which is just what. 6 weeks away, 7 weeks away, 7 weeks away from now. So get your tickets. Apparently, there's been close to 100 sold already. The max capacity is 1,000. I don't think we'll get anywhere near it.
But prove us wrong.
Who knows? You know, there's prove 7 weeks to go. Audience. What else are you doing on the 18th of May? You know, prove us wrong. And there'll be bars open, there'll be food, you know, it'll be a proper outfit for it. And who knows, you might just see a few legends knocking about at Rydale Park, some faces that you definitely remember, and you'll see the Blue Army podcast lift the content cup. Come on, boy. right, lads, I'm hyped. I'm incredibly hyped, and that means it's time to get low, or maybe high, or maybe low again, as we play FIFA Higher or Lower. But before we do, it's time to have a few words from just a couple of our sponsors.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Oh, right, boys, here we go. It's time for the game with the longest name. It's time for the official Blue Army Podcast Higher or Lower Style game, which also contains one equal now in brackets, which was discovered last week, so it's not in this game anymore, close brackets. but this is also relating to Carlisle United stats, relating to a certain year of FIFA game, and this time it's FIFA 14, not 13.
That's it, read it all again.
I have to do it all again. Imagine if I did just like restart and just like scratch the record and restart the little theme tune that I do in the edit and then Oh no, oh god, lads. Right, okay, I've caught my breath. We can start. But before we start, we've got to decide who's going first. And so to decide that, gentlemen, and in the spirit of a charity football match, we'll all be deciding what football boots we're going to wear. So I want you to tell me what your favourite football boots have ever been. Liam, what's your favourite pair of football boots?
I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what brand they are. I got them off eBay like 3 years ago. These black things that I've owned. They're the only ones I'll ever wear.
black things.
Yeah.
The job done. Just some black boots from some dodgy man online.
Ref boots, then. Yeah. You got ref boots.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Ref boots.
You're playing in ref boots.
And I'll stand by that. You can keep your fancy shoes. Mine have got history. All right.
You're playing in ref boots.
I'm comfortable in them. They're...
Everyone's going to be scared of you in the midfield shoes. Playing in your ref boots. Oh, dear. Will?
I mean, mine were literally ref boots because I had them when I was doing my... ref training. I'd actually had them a bit before, so like the Cumberland FA came to my school when I was 16 and were like, you know, does anyone want to train to be a ref? It's free.
Well,
so yeah,
hold them boots.
Oh no, I'm not wearing them. I've not got them anymore.
I was going to say them boots probably as old as me. You know?
They were in a pair of plain black Diodoras with a big D on them.
Right, okay. At least you know what they're called, though, Diodoras.
Yeah, I'm not sure what mine are.
Max, please say it's not just a black boot.
No, the ones, my favourite ever ones was the Nike T90s, the... like the yellow ones with the... I had to search up because I didn't know, I couldn't really remember the name, but it is T90s, yeah. It's when Rooney used to wear them, like 2008 or something, 2009,
yeah, you can keep your fancy boots, you know.
Well, I think we know who's going first. And I think we know who's going second as well, to be honest. So it's Max, Wills and Liam's last.
I'll take that.
With his undescribed black boots.
My report boots.
I found him on the shore.
He was fished out the harbour.
He got them off eBay. He literally searched black boots and just bought the first thing he saw.
That's closer to the truth than I'd like it to be. You know?
Oh dear. Right, lads, it is time to play the game with the longest name. It is time to play FIFA Higher or Lower. Max, you're going first. We left things last week with only 7 names left to guess on the list. So one way or another, this game is pretty much over, I believe. We left things on Mike Edwards on 60 points. Also, the equals has been discovered now, if you don't remember that from the intro. So there's no more equals left. It's just a higher or lower game. So we're going from Mike Edwards to Danny Cadamantri.
I'm going to go lower with this one.
Saying lower. And you'd be correct, mate. Well done. So we're going from Danny Cadamantri to Lee Miller. Will, higher or lower?
I think higher. He had a few good seasons with us and was considered a decent striker at that level.
And you'd be correct, mate. Well done. Lee Miller is higher. So, Liam, we go from Lee Miller to Brad Potts.
Lee Miller type striker now.
Lee Miller to who?
Brad Potts.
Brad Potts. I think. And I know he's a good player now, and I know now he would be higher, but I'm trying to think he'll only have been young then, wouldn't he? So I'm going to say lower.
I'm going to say lower. And you'd be correct, mate. Well done.
Nice.
Max, there's just four left to guess. Or three left to guess. So from Brad Potts to Mark Beck.
Oh, Mark Beck. I think they were pretty similarly rated because they were both kind of came up at the same time, I'm pretty sure. But I think Mark Beck was lower than Brad Potts.
I'm going to say Mark Beck was lower than Brad Potts. And you'd be wrong, I'm afraid. Sorry about that, Max.
Close.
You are out, I'm afraid. You are out. There's two more left.
How wrong FIFA were.
I think weirdly, if the equals was still in it, that would have been the equals. But I can't imagine they'd
be far jump, off. Like, there's a couple really? Of points in it. Like, there's a couple of points in it. From Mark Beck to Rory Loy, Will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've gone from a young player to an established player, so I think Rory Loy is probably going to be higher.
And you'd be correct, mate. Well done. So, Liam, to end on a perfect house. From Rory Loy to Alex Salmon.
Lower.
You're going to say lower? And you'd be correct. Well nice. Done, lads.
It's not the first time we've ended on a win.
Take a vote. What do we want to do next week? Now, Do you want to do higher or lower again? Or do you want to do true blue or not a blue? Take a vote.
True blue or not a blue?
Yeah, I think the risk is if we do the FIFA one, we might run out before then. We might run out of episodes to finish it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, true blue fair. Or not a blue.
That's fair. So we'll do true blue or not a blue. It's a unanimous decision. We'll do true blue or not a blue next week here on the Blue Army podcast. Lads, thanks very much for playing the game with the longest name. Who knows when it'll be back, but I always enjoy it. It's always a fun game to play. We'll crack on with the rest of the podcast. And normally at this point of the podcast, we would be doing the match report. But because we've had two matches in such short succession, it's time for the match attack. That's right, guys. We're just going to basically, you know, sum up things a bit quicker because we've got two games as well. So, like, we'll dive into things, but we'll summarise things. And, you know, Carlisle United on the Friday, Easter Friday, had a fantastic outing away at Peterborough. They were successful on the road in the fruit salad shirt. For the first time this season, the one and only win in a fruit salad shirt to be recorded so far. And it happened away at Peterborough. John Mellish with the hat trick. Liam, you are probably the biggest fan of John Mellish I know. And what do you think, you know, of John's performance on the day? Now, how can you sum that up?
I think if that doesn't put him in the Ballon d'Or rankings, I don't know what will. You know, I think he's proved a lot of people wrong because he's been given a lot of stick. And to be honest, it's not really the role he's expected to do. You know, I think he was pushed forward into midfield, but even then you wouldn't really expect him to do kind of what he did. And to be honest, I still prefer him as a centre-back even after that. But it was just, I just think it's hilarious when Mellish just decides to turn into prime Thierry Henry for a day.
Yeah.
Because like, it happens every yeah. so often, doesn't it? He did it a lot during the Chris Beach like, kind of lockdown season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love it when John Mellish just decides to
it's just cause
turn
he's a
into a world-class player.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because he's a hard-working player, really. He's just like...
I think sometimes...
He'll do anything. I mean, he's got ability because he's played around, but he'll do anything that he's asked to do.
Yeah, I just think with him, sometimes if you don't know what you're expecting with John Mellish, he'll surprise you. I feel like if you prepare for him well and you know, you play against him properly, you can kind of prepare for him. But if he catches you by surprise, you just left a bit shell-shocked and you don't know what to do because he's absolutely mental. he'll just run for 90 minutes and, you know, he could run for another 90 afterwards. He's just a weird player that probably needs to be drug tested, to be honest. But, you know, but he's absolutely fantastic. And I'm so glad he's still under contract next season.
The only thing he'd test positive for is Nuki Brown.
Yeah, he just pops up in the right position a lot, doesn't he?
He must have Red Bull on his morning cornflakes or something like that, because he's just completely full of energy. He's amazing.
He's like going to have a Mr. Blobby biscuit and like a pie for his lunch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it don't probably say that it's because he looks after himself very well and...
Would he?
I don't know.
I mean, he's a
professional athlete. He'll like, you know, he'll want tech credit for his fitness.
He's fantastic. He's such a useful player to have, and I think anyone in this league would just want him, just to have him.
Yeah,
and he'll show his class again when we go down, I'm sure.
Yeah, good, so, definitely a good player in league too.
Yeah.
So that was a fantastic result away against Peterborough. Obviously, you know, we managed to win 3-1, but we got flipped things on its head and we lost 3-1 against Lincoln. It's been an up and down weekend, but we've shown positive signs, and it's all about sort of like, you know, not leaving things on a sour note here in League One. We need to grind out a couple of wins because, you know, at the end of the day, Max, it's momentum's important, isn't it? And picking up wins, even though there's not really much hope of us staying up, it's going to affect next season. It's going to affect the confidence that the players have in Paul Simpson to get wins. Don't you think it's really important that we still at least try and win?
Yeah, I think there's going to be more momentum for us when we can start playing on our new training pitches, and which I think is going to happen in the summer, the pitches at least, and then the signings we bring in, and, you know, hopefully getting a good crowd in the first opening game. I think that'll bring us more momentum than getting a couple of wins in this season. Obviously, you want to, but, you know, a lot of the players won't even be here next season, and it'd be more for the fans, really, I think. Just to kind of not be disappointed every week like we have been. Obviously, we got that win against Peterborough, but I think that was a lot of it as well was down to them not turning up. But I didn't watch the game. I wasn't there. So, you know, people who were there probably be able to give a better insight. But yeah, it'd be nice to get a couple of wins before the end of the season. But yeah, I don't think it's the be-all and end-all, really.
Now, a man that was at the Lincoln game is Wills. Yeah. You were at the Lincoln game. The first goal, it was a bit slapdash and it was a bit sloppy, but Carlisle threatened after the first goal. You know, they went forward, there was a couple of chances missed. I mean, from first-hand witnessing the performance on the day, was potentially that 3-1 scoreline a little bit flattering of Lincoln?
Yeah, I don't think it was quite a 3-1 match. It seems like some of the match reports describe it as a dominant victory for Lincoln. And, you know, and to be fair to them, you know, the last 10 minutes they came on and put the game to bed. But first half and probably like start of the second half, we still had a fair few decent chances, probably created better chances than they did. It's just that they put theirs away. Obviously, one was a free kick and one was a fast counter. But Butterworth hit the post. I can't remember who took the shot, but it brought out a very smart fingertip save from their keeper. I think we might have actually hit the post twice. So, and there was one chance, I think it fell to Jack Diamond, and he just did completely the wrong thing, which happens. So, a bit wasteful in front of goal. Some of the build up play, there was enough in how we played to be more positive than the scoreline would suggest. It was disappointing the way that we conceded when we did, and the, you know, the usual thing of having chances. And to be fair to Butterworth, he was unlucky not to score. He hit the post, but he had to put it just past the keeper's fingertips, and he just couldn't find that gap between the fingertips and the post to squeeze it in.
And then he had a really good, like, long range effort.
Oh, that was amazing.
Just saved as well.
Was that the one I was talking about then? Yeah, the keeper just tipped over.
Yeah, and then John Mellish had a really good chance as well.
Yeah.
They managed to save a really, you know, be saved really well.
Mm.
There's a lot of fights still left in Carlisle, and there'll be a lot of fight going into the Northampton game. And it's time to do some predictions, lads, because I think, Will, you've actually got the Peterborough prediction right. we all predicted for us to lose, and you were like, ah, Carlisle's going to win 3-1. And it was,
yeah, it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it
if
worked.
Only, if only
yeah,
you'd have said Mellish hat-trick as well, that would have been
incredible. That would have been bad.
Yeah, I think I've Armstrong and Kelly on the score sheet, but...
So what's your predictions going to be for Northampton?
I'm going to go for the win again. I'm going to say 4-0.
wow. Okay. And
one by Mellish and two by Kelly and one by Butterworth.
Right. Put your money on it now. Put your house on it. Put your house on it. Liam,
put
can you, can you
on it.
Surely you can't doubt what Will's just said. You can't go with a different scoreline, surely.
Will is quite convincing, but I'm going to have to go with something different just to be different. I'm going to say we win 2-0.
2-0.
With Kelly getting the second and Mellish getting the first.
Okay. Max?
I'm going to go 3-2. We go 3-0 up, and then it's a nervy ending with a couple of goals from them. But for this for scoring, I'm going to go for Gibson, Kelly, and Armstrong twice.
Oh,
that's the most believable
scores.
One.
Sorry, no, Armstrong once. I just realised that's more than 4 goals. But...
yeah, I think that's the sort of believable one where we do really well and then almost bottle it.
Yeah,
that's okay, the
our
most
defense is, our defence is horrendous, so we're at least conceding twice. But I think attacking wise, we look pretty good. To be fair.
Because really, that's what kind of should have happened in the Peterborough game at times, where we were 3-0 up, then conceded one, and we were very lucky not to concede another after that.
I can just see like another Stevenage happening, but obviously we end up scoring. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say 2-1.
Who's scoring?
Carlisle.
Yeah,
I'll take all of them.
Yeah, I was going to say 2-1 to Carlisle with an Armstrong brace.
Nice.
Nice.
I want Armstrong and Kelly to get a few in the end of the season just to kind of put them through because I think they're going to be the starting strikers next season. So I kind of want to get them a bit of confidence, get them scoring in League One so they know
if
they can do it.
Even if
two,
we lose, but Armstrong and Kelly are scoring, that's for me, that would make it a lot better.
Yeah.
We just want to see some goals. That's how desperate we are.
You say that, but we've scored.
We
scored
five,
our last
four,
three, I think.
I just want to see some bloody goals. Lads,
one of our strikers scoring,
yeah. It'll be nice to see them both getting some goals in Carlisle shirts. Definitely will. Right, lads, it's time to play everybody's favorite
guess in the player.
Guess in the player.
Guess in the player.
Here we go, boys.
Guess in the player.
Guess in the player.
Guess in the player.
Guess in the player.
I'm trying to time it with the music, but it's a complete guess.
I can never sync it up right, so I think it sounds more funny anyway. Just to
the sound's got you saying it, hasn't it, in the sound.
Yeah, exactly, it's so weird.
So I'm trying to like time it so it's like perfect, but no, never gonna happen.
No, I can't do it. I don't even know what the tempo is off the top of my head. You know what I mean? I'm sure it's like probably a lot faster than what I do it when I'm singing it to you guys right now. But Max and Liam, you're going to head-to-head as Will. You, sir, become clue guide. And I get to sit back and relax for an episode of Guessing the Player. But as I do, I'm going to enjoy two potential title contenders sweat it out in a very meaty matchup. Liam, you're the home team. And this one, so, you know, trying to claim all 3 points on home turf. Are you confident?
Well, the last couple of games I've played, I've said I was confident and then lost. So I'm going to try and say that I'm really not confident. I'm bricking it and I'm going to get beat.
I mean, God bless you. And we'll see how you get on, Max. How do you feel about that, you know, ostrich head in the sand, tail between the legs kind of approach to the match?
Well, I don't need to rely on that nonsense. I've got it all up here anyway. So, and for the listeners, I pointed at my head then.
Well remembered. Another evidential, you know, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I did that too. Oh dear me. Right, Max and Liam, you're playing Will. I'll hand over to your very capable hands, sir, as you clue guide this fantastic game of guessing the player. As I've already said, Liam, you're the home team, Max, you're the away team. 3 points on the line. Take it away, Wills.
Okie doke. Well, first question or first clue. He was offered his first pro contract at Carlisle in 2012 and went on to score 6 goals in 83 appearances.
In 2012. His first contract, so I'm gonna say, is it Danny Granger?
That is incorrect, Liam. Max?
I'm gonna go with, I don't know if he played that much for us, but I'm gonna go with Patrick Brough.
That is also incorrect. So, clue two. His most memorable goal in a Carlisle shirt was a long-range free kick against Scunthorpe, while he also scored an extra-time winner in the League Cup second round against Ipswich.
I think Max looked good after that, but I still have no idea. See, 2012, that's what? 12 years ago? And I can't really remember that. So, was it 2012? Was it? I think he's older than this, but I'm gonna have to go. Is it Glenn Murray?
That, I'm afraid, is incorrect.
Yeah, no. He's older than that, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
So I think he's already been mentioned on the podcast so far, Brad Potts.
That is also incorrect. So we're down to the third question. It's just 1 point up for grabs now. Third question will hopefully bring it a bit more into your ballpark. After leaving Carlisle, he has played for 2 other clubs. Both times he was signed by a manager who used to play for Carlisle. Currently, he still plays in non-league. So yeah, he was signed twice by ex-Carlisle players managing other clubs.
Is it Nicky Adams?
It is not Nicky Adams.
Ooh, sorry,
Liam, no
Keith
points
Curl,
for you.
He?
Yeah. That's it. Ex-Carlisle players, didn't I?
Yeah.
Sorry. almost made me think I'd said ex-Carlisle managers. I mean, oh, no.
Yeah,
players.
Try to think who, like, what ex-players are now managers for us.
I think I know who he is. I think I've got
you
it now.
Message me, Liam.
I'm going to message you it.
Gives me thinking time.
I'm all happy to give you thinking time for the added drama of Liam potentially getting it right, but having to concede the point.
Hey, remember the Wicked Wango card?
No, you're wrong, Liam.
No. I would have been right with the ermine, but no.
So so I started going to watch them. So that was the season before we got relegated from League One, I'm pretty sure. So that's why I got my first season ticket the season we got relegated. So I think it was like fairly new at that point. I'm going to go with Kyle Dempsey.
That, I'm afraid, is also incorrect.
So he's still playing in non-league?
He's still playing in non-league. He played for 2 other clubs.
Can you tell me who he's playing for now? I might get it.
Workington.
Dave Simon.
it is Dave Symington.
Oh,
and
Davey
Symington.
Liam, had you got it? Did you know it?
No.
No. I'll take a point at home. Yeah. Well, no points at
no
home.
No points at home.
Yeah, a draw.
All round.
If you'd have just said that clue, he plays for working, then I would have got it. Well,
yeah,
I didn't.
I thought that would make it too easy, but maybe I should have done. I thought
I wouldn't have got it, I don't think.
For some reason, when I said clubs managed by ex-Carlisle players, for some reason I thought that would make it obvious that he was like...
Well, it does work now we know the answer.
I know. It's difficult to write them and make them not obvious.
Yeah.
So I was thinking what I could do, right? Because obviously no one knows what the score is for guessing the player. So I was thinking what I could do.
Who's going to say next one wins?
No. So, like, you know, obviously, you know,
the
season's
home team
ending soon, and then we've got a couple of weeks between this and the charity match, the end of the season and the charity match, obviously. So I was thinking what I could do is that I could edit the last, like, you know, all the guessing the players from this season into one show. And I could just put that out.
I'll take up a bit of time.
I quite like to listen to that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'll be an interesting... Yeah. I think that'll be a fun listen as well. It'll be like an easy... It means like we get like a week off as well.
And you know, if you're listening, you could download it and use it as your quiz among, you know, among your mates.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, exactly. So I think it'd be a fun thing to have for people. And obviously, automatically, it'll mean that, you know, we'll be able to know what the score is and stuff at the end of that kind of thing. And then we'll do one more episode just before the charity match. Obviously, we'll be more focused on the charity match, but we'll have a game of guessing the player on there. We'll have a couple of games of guessing the player on there to decide it. Yeah,
yeah, because we might have to even it up as well. Because I imagine there'll be someone who's
have a few games to even it up. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. So that's the plan for guessing the player. So there still is something to play for. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, damn it, and we'll get there. But there's nothing to add to the scores this week, unfortunately. Good old Davey was the guessing the player answer this week. And lads, before we finish things here on the Blue Army podcast, if it wasn't for the Blue Army podcast and me starting the Blue Army podcast, then I would never have had the opportunity to get to work with Target Wrestling. Target Wrestling have their 11th anniversary show this Saturday, which is obviously the 6th of April. It's their 11th anniversary show. They're importing some Yankee Doodle American types to come over and do some wrestling. There's going to be quite a painful hardcore match between Newcastle's Rory Coyle and Whitehaven's Tony H, the man of the people, the West Cumbrian meat castle, Tony H. And it's all taking place at the Box Arena in Carlisle. Tickets are £10 if you buy them in advance and £12 if you buy them on the door. The doors open at 6 o'clock and the show starts at 6:30. So watch the Carlisle match on iFollow and then go watch some wrestling at Box Arena. It'll be a great night out for everyone. And the bloke doing the music, it's me. I'll be doing the music for Target Wrestling. So if you come over, I might play Weekend in Paradise and Free From Desire. So it'll be worth coming out for. But I wanted to give friends at Target Wrestling a little bit of a mention. Lads, after that, though, there isn't really anything else left to do apart from saying bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.